and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUNS, Dorion 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you go in the world. And especially right now, I want to thank my special friends, the Fadel family, and especially Grandma. Lots of especialies because these are very special people. For the support and love, always. Well, it is 2:59 on another beautiful day in the Pacific Northwest. 60 degrees, and it's not raining. It's a little gray, which is just fine. And we're happy campers because it is one busy week. And as a matter of fact, gray is kind of good because it's a good weather for going to the movies. And you can tell what's coming, or maybe you can't. But I've got a tune here for you to open up. Dedication, of course, goes to community, family, four-footed furries, as well as two-footed, and to the people who are dealing with the weather that is not as beautiful and accepting as ours, especially in Haiti, North Carolina, Florida, and what we can do to help out. So I was looking for a tango tune, but I couldn't find it fast enough. So I'm going to really cheat and put on a polonaise, which has nothing to do, but, you know, it's dance music, and you'll see why soon. Thanks for being here, folks. Stay tuned. Coast Community Radio. Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi and gifts, open every day with room for dancing, too. And support for Arts Live and Local comes in part from Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific, published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Daily Astorian, and online at coastweekend.com. And this week's Coast Weekend has got, they're featuring at least two of my guest spots, including a very full coverage of my first guests. Well, not of them, but of the event that they're bringing to us. And that is the Astoria International Film Fest. And I have here with me the director and, I don't know if this is a word, but the one of the most perseverant people I know. Is there a word? Is that a word? I don't know.
But crazy.
crazy after
in
all these years.
In a positive sort of way.
Yes, definitely in a positive way. Ron Craig from Portland has been creating this amazing festival. This is the 10th year. And we are thrilled. I actually have gone every year to at least part of the festival, and I can guarantee you it is well worth dipping into. And Ron's going to give us an overview of the whole festival and then describe some of the films as well. It starts this evening. It's all being held at the Liberty Theater on 12th and Commercial in Astoria, although there is a dip into away from the film and into the visual art standing still world at River Sea on Saturday night. It goes all day Saturday from noon on, and then there are events on Sunday as well. And I'm going to let Ron go first, and then I have the rest of the team. I have the Tango Twins, Celeste and Estella Olivares. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then it's time you found out that there is a big tango presence in Astoria over at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center on 10th Street. It's been going for quite a while. They'll tell you more about that. But they come together with the film festival, because tomorrow's noon film is Tango. So they'll pitch in on that one and then tell you other exciting tango news coming up. So welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
All right, great. Ron, how come you're crazy enough to do this? Your word, not mine.
Well, the jury is out still on that. So, one of these things you keep going and it feels good. And I think that's what it comes down as far as overall with my approach to it. And it's just something that people talk about their dreams and aspirations. And I feel that I'm very fortunate to be able to pursue that and be able to share it with everyone else in such a beautiful area as far as Astoria. It's Astoria itself, one little side note to me, it's always been a spiritual link. We have the Columbia River and the Pacific Ocean, and the fact that it's been occupied by human beings for a long time. Their spirits still exist here. And I just feel that the mantle has just been passed a little bit to be able to do it. And so I think that's really important.
What's your film, your own personal film background?
I worked on a number of films with public broadcasting chronicling the Lewis and Clark expedition. And so we did one for Oregon Experience, and then we did a, gang gypsy sort of thing, all positive here as far as doing an independent one that I just went out in the streets and started interviewing people. And then we did a radio show for NPR, and we had Danny Glover actually was our narrator on that, and it was a 1 hour documentary as far as chronicling York's involvement with the Lewis and Clark expedition, him being the only African American on the expedition.
Can we mention right now that Ron Craig is African American, and that's another aspect of this film festival?
You've blown my cover.
And that's because Who would know? Were you born in Oregon?
I'm an Oregonian,
yeah,
yes.
That's why we can't tell. You know? I mean, people know I'm from Brooklyn because of the way I talk, but you got no accent, these Oregonians.
Well, so. Both of these people come around and we see, we, you know, hang out and eat pizza, you know. And so.
All right.
You know, I really love the area, so it's just great.
Okay, so tell us about this year's festival.
Well, a couple of different things. Our mission statement has always been to be able to bring films to this area that obviously with a film festival that are not normally you're going to be able to see in the theaters. And this year we're starting out with a number of short films. And we've always kind of partnered with the Northwest Film Center, and we're going to do the 42nd Northwest Film Festival, which is a whole group of about five to six films, under their umbrella as far as shorts. And then we also have Remain, which is a young gentleman from actually Warrenton, Oregon, and went to high school here in the area, Michael Kane. So we a lot of times we like to touch bases with people who are right in the area. And then we have another one that's an international short also. And to be able to bring these here, typically young filmmakers start out with short films. And it's always very intriguing to see what where they're going with it.
So how does someone from Warrenton connect with you, or is his film already in the Portland?
No, I believe, if I can trace this, I believe it was his mom actually emailed me, I believe it was. He can probably correct me on that and kind of a heads up. And a lot
because
of times,
she knew about the festival, about you coming here and doing the festival.
Absolutely.
Whoa, very
and
cool.
And so a lot of times it's untraditional links that bring these films. And like I said, young filmmakers, that's really kind of my... I'm really involved in that and having them because for them to be able to showcase it, and everybody's not going to be the great filmmaker, but the idea that they'll go somewhere and have your audience look at it and make an evaluation.
Yeah, I really appreciate, and I know the rest of the community does too, that you do open up to local filmmakers because you've done this every year,
absolutely.
Which is terrific.
Yeah. And then we go into Vanport Mosaic, which is one of those flashpoints as far as in Oregon, Portland, as far as the history. And it deals with the flood of Vanport in 1948. And there were a lot of people who were displaced doing that. It was a community, it was the second largest community in the state of Oregon at the time. And most of the people were there working with Mr. Kaiser as far as building ships for World War II. And so you had a combination of cultures kind of coming together, African-Americans that were a part of the migration coming up here to work. We had, you know, whites that were here. And so that had never been put together. And so after the flood, there's a lot of things, collateral things that happened. So with the idea of doing this film, it's more or less the fact of actually the flood, but it's the people that were affected by it. Because once the flood happened, they move into... They wouldn't have been accepted into the mainstream population.
Do you know when that movie was made?
Actually, it was about 2 years ago. But it's an evolution because producer, she's actually making adjustments as you go along because it's not only necessarily the flood itself, but how it affected the community as far as collateral. So she's actually interviewing people. Mm-hmm. But the way she was able to put it together, it's very significant as far as a flashpoint in our history because everybody, I think, is vested in this this particular story.
And many people have heard of Vanport, but the details are very fuzzy. And I like the idea that we're getting a kind of updated on how this condemned, because this was 1942 and it's still impacting the city. So we're not going to be able to describe in depth all of the films, but go ahead.
Yeah.
It's
the Valley of Ditches. It's also Chris Lang is also an Astoria person. I graduated from Astoria High School in 2002. So once
He was on the air when he brought that film. That's the scary one, isn't it? The
Valley
of Ditches.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I saw the trailer and I went, well, Chris, I'm afraid I won't be going to see that film. I'm a little too impressionable. I was when I was a kid and still am. But it's very exciting because he has become a professional filmmaker. So excellent. And then that's all tonight, folks.
Yes.
all tonight. Yeah. Again, it's at the Liberty Theater on 12th and Commercial, and you can just get there and buy your tickets there. Okay. And there is, if you want to buy, we're not going to give the prices, but why don't you give the website if people want to buy a season's ticket or a ticket for the whole weekend? Is that still possible?
Yes. Actually, the best thing to do is to go to the box office at the Liberty Theater. Okay. We'll take care of it and stuff. And they're very accommodating as far as prices and everything.
Okay.
Saturday, we're going to start with tango, and okay. So I'm not going to jump into that one.
I have two women here dancing around the street. Well, no, we're all
almost
dancing in our minds, at
dancing
least.
In our seats.
Yes, really. Come on up to the mic so you can pitch in on this, because I want to find out how it happened that Ron is bringing the film Tango. That's at noon tomorrow. And Estelle and Celeste bring the actual tango to Astoria. How did you guys, did you know each other, or how did this happen?
Well, we probably knew each other back in Paris in 28.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's a whole other interview.
Yeah.
To make it more, you know, yeah, newsworthy. It was a number of different people had made me aware of what was going on here as far as the tango community, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
And the short of it is, I just got hooked on it. And so I'm not going to get into too many more of the details other than the fact that here we are together. And they have just, you know, I can't imagine doing this without their assistance and their energy as far as being able to do this. It's just incredible.
We're all smiling now. This is that warm, fuzzy feeling.
We are all very warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. So did you contact Ron, or did...
No, we were introduced through some of our tango community folks, and were made aware of the possibility of this film being shown, and I was already familiar with the film. I saw it actually when it was in small release in Portland in 98 or 99.
Okay.
It's a very steamy film about tango, and it's about a guy making a film about tango, and it involves a lot of the history, but it's also, of course, steamy the way tango is. And
I know. Well, wait a minute. This is at noon on a Saturday?
Well, you know, you got to get the day started right.
Exactly. We're gonna start the Saturday.
Well, you can't watch the University of Oregon Ducks. They're losing, so we'll
you might as well watch tango.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
You might as well get steamy.
So you've been sharing the information with your group as well.
Yeah, there's several people we're all very excited to go see the film, and we are coordinating our inaugural milonga, which is a formal tango dance. And we've been building this tango community for almost 2 years now. So our dancers are ready. They've been going to Portland for festivals there
and workshops
and, you know, doing their best to get ready for the dance floor, for the formal dance floor. And we hope that this will be the first of many. In fact, we've learned that this milonga, which we're calling a milonguita because it's small. It's small but mighty and passionate. We hope to have many more, but this is actually a historical milonga. This is a historical event for Astoria. We were made aware of this historical event, so that feels really exciting and wonderful, and, you know, just makes it all that more special. And when Ron and I first sat down about, I don't know, a month and a half ago, probably, it just felt great. You know, the connection was immediate, and it really did feel like we were meeting as old friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
1928?
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty way back.
way back.
Older than our mom.
That's,
I love it.
Older than any of us in this room,
yes,
or maybe several of us put together.
That's why the memory is so vague.
Yeah,
that's right.
Besides, it was steamy.
So, oh, definitely.
Yeah. So if people come to the film at noon, they will find out more about what's going on. But you have a website as well?
We primarily promote through the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, so astoriaartsandmovementcenter.com. We're also offering half-price entrance to the milonga. There's at 6 o'clock at the AAMC, mm-hmm. and there's a beginning level class, and then the Milonga follows directly at 7. Anybody who is participating in any of the films as part of the film festival, we're offering half price entrance.
This is community cooperation. Yeah. This is just beautiful, beautiful. Well, I want you two to stick around so you can tell us more about that. Let's go back to the film festival now, Ron, and tell us, after we're all steamed up from the tango, where do we go from there?
You have a way with words.
Did I say this? I'm getting it straight from you guys. Noon to 2 is the film Tango. And then I see you have 2:30 is the next film.
Yeah, equal means equal. And Eva Generation, this film, it's a documentary, and it came out about 2 months ago. And it actually deals with inequity as far as women's the pay and how they're, you know, in the workplace. And it's kind of like, you know, in the forefront right now with the idea that we have the possibility of a woman becoming president, which is neither political or however you want social. It's just the idea of the Equal Rights Amendment that was going on a number of years ago in the 70s and the 80s. And there are a lot of things that are involved in that. I felt that it was for me to be able to put this on the forefront, because it's something that I think a lot of people, specifically younger women, are not aware of.
Great.
And
yep.
I think it's something for them to be able to see and to make their own decisions about, you know, what it's worth, and to be able to mount this effort again, because it's not over.
Right. And those of us who've been through round after round after round,
yes.
of the ERA. But I'm seeing that this is actually a 2016 documentary.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, yowza.
Yeah,
this is the beauty of having Ron Craig do this independently. It's he picks and chooses, and he's got good taste and lots of connections.
Thank you.
So really, that's very exciting. So it's called Equal Means Equal. That's 2:30.
And our next one, we decided to do a film noir, and there is it's an interesting combination with the gallery. We're having a reception at the River Sea Gallery, and it's in connection with the exhibit of some collage work that deals with film noir. And so this film is Killers with Burt Lancaster, 1946. And like I say, it's one of those films that I think that people, oh, God, I remember that. Mm-hmm. And you look at it, a scene from it, and I think you're really going to be intrigued by it. And also with the idea that the gallery having the link with it, to be able to go to the reception and to be able to talk to the artisans that are involved in that, I think it's really, really going to
I think it's
fulfilling.
Leslie Peterson. I see she's got another name as well now. Leslie Peterson Sapp, who's shown her work at Riversea for a number of years. And she does very powerful stuff. So that's a neat idea, too, is to link in. So the Killers is 4 to 5:40, and then there's a break in the films, and people go over to the gallery. Is that the idea?
Yeah, the gallery, mm-hmm. and have a bit of lunch, late lunch or dinner,
right.
before they get in for the next round. We're in the process of launching for 2017 the first Astoria International Jazz Festival to be happen be a year from now, as far as October we're looking at. And so we decided to insert a couple of different films as far as biopics. And the first one we're going to do is Born to Be Blue. And it's essentially a story about the trumpeter Chet Baker. And he had a very difficult life. And so if anybody's familiar, I definitely go to and find some of his music and stuff. It's very intriguing and stuff. And then we go with Miles Ahead, which is Miles Davis. And he is pretty much the legs for me as far as jazz. He's the quintessential, I'm going to do it my way, jazz.
Yeah.
And so it was really incredible. And then Sunday,
let me just mention that KMUN has jazz Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8. And each program is hosted by a different person, so you get different kinds of jazz. And you certainly always hear plenty of Miles on this station. I think he's even on our wall somewhere, Miles Davis.
Well, I'm sure he is.
And, and Chet Baker. So, okay, and then we'll finish up on Sunday.
Yeah, we usually have a croissants and coffee, which is kind of an open, about a half hour or so for people to come in. It's free. We provide the croissants and coffee to kind of discuss the films they've seen over the past 2 days, and then also to move into our first film on Sunday, which is Unbroken Ground, which it had actually had appeared here in Astoria earlier. And it deals with some of the aspects of our environment and how we link together with fishing and as far as some of the industrial farming, things of that nature. So it's very insightful. And then we finish up with Best Man. And Best Man is a film that was done in 1964. And Gore Vidal was a script writer or the writer on this. And it's one of those incredible things as far as which I seized upon it because it really reflects of a lot of things that we're seeing now. There's two individuals who are vying for the presidency and some of the little nuances there. And I just thought it was really kind of crazy because, like I said, with the festival, you always get these little older films in there, and I think people really are intrigued by them. But.
Okay, now you can go to the AIFF.com website and to see another review of these films just to remind you of which is which, or just come to the box office and decide what you want to do, buy the whole series or buy per ticket. And but don't miss it. And if you come on Saturday at noon, you'll also be able to dance up and down the aisles as well as get involved in the tango scene. So, Ron, thank you very much once again. I'm very much looking forward to the festival. That is this weekend, folks. Starts tonight at 6 o'clock, is it? At
Yes, 5:30.
5:30 at the Liberty Theater, 12th and Commercial. And then all day tomorrow and then a little bit on Sunday as well. Excellent, Ron Craig. And let me switch back over while I still have Estelle and Celeste Olivares here in the studio. And one of the fun things about this is that I believe you will. Oh, there's kissing going on in my studio. Did I give permission? Nobody even asked.
We go back so far.
1928, I keep forgetting.
Paris.
Paris. Mm-hmm. There you go. So you lived in Portland?
Yeah, for the last 20-plus years.
Where did you folks come from?
Oh, originally Southern California.
Southern California, but okay.
Came to Portland in January for a visit and fell in love with it.
Yep. And now
we're in Astoria.
Yes. This is so exciting because they came, they saw, and they
and wanted to dance.
Couldn't resist. And they brought They brought all kinds of things, classes, regular classes and gatherings, and also exhibitions. One of my favorites was when you danced in, I think that was
the Carruthers.
At the Carruthers.
Yep.
What wasn't yet the Carruthers. Right? It was totally empty at that time. Oh, my gosh, that was so powerful.
Fun.
So
yeah.
So again, tell folks how they can find out what the tango scene is here. You only have a few minutes.
Sure, yeah. Basically, every Saturday at 6 o'clock at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, which is on 10th.
It's 342 10th Street.
That's right. Second floor.
Right.
We usually have our little tango sandwich board out there that was beautifully hand-painted. There's a fundamentals all-level class. It's $10 per person.
Don't give prices, but it's very reasonable.
It's very
as
reasonable.
You can see.
Very, very, very reasonable.
Yes.
And then there's a practica following, which just means an informal tango dance, a place to practice your dancing. And we've got a nice little community of people, and we're always
it's very
growing.
Friendly and non-judgmental, and you do not. Women or men have to wear high heels. You can if you want,
absolutely.
But you don't have to.
Correct. And you don't need a partner.
Right. Definitely advantageous for dance. So the exciting news right now is that you are having your inaugural milonguita.
Indeed.
I love this. And so again, this is tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock for beginners, or just if you're already part of this group come at 7.
Correct.
7 to 10. Everybody is welcome, right?
Absolutely.
No matter, even if you've never danced a tango before, you can come and...
Yeah, and watch. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Tango's such a beautiful dance to watch.
It is.
That excitement about. In fact, I think a lot of people are very intimidated by the dance, but like to watch it. So yeah, we're absolutely welcoming anybody to come and take part.
Well, and that's what I mean is that they make it unintimidating.
We try.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because there are people who just say, everybody's talking about the tango. What is this? And you make it available. So again, that's at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, 342 10th Street, which, by the way, the AAMC is a fabulous facility here with all kinds of movement going on. We are this tiny little town with so much happening, so many talented, passionate, generous people giving of their services and their skills and their passions. So that is tomorrow. But come to the film, even if you don't want to get your feet into it. You just want to bounce around in your chair. That's at noon tomorrow at the Liberty. So, and then we're going to have you come back when there's...
Great.
You'll tell us how this milonguita is
absolutely
turning into a milonga.
That's right.
It's growing and growing. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Carol.
Thanks for being here and for keeping the tango alive and well
in Astoria.
Yes.
Yeah, we're excited.
And speaking of passions and alive and well, we have the Brownsmead Flats, and they are going to be playing quite a few times. They already do in various places, but this is the upcoming one as my next guests, and that will be this coming Tuesday, the 25th, with in a benefit for the NCLC. Stay tuned and you'll find out what that is. Thanks, folks, for being here. Coast Community Radio.
Well, my name is Robert Stewart, and I got a tale to tell. I come here on the Tonkin for the year of 1812. Well, I come to build an outpost for the world's first millionaire. So we called it Fort Astor, 'cause they wouldn't let me call it
what he wanted to call it,
Fort Robert, Fort Stewart.
But we wouldn't let him do it.
So we called it Fort Astor for the world's first millionaire. And we set out trading for skins till there weren't any more there. Well, I've got an itching for something to do, so I let out upriver to find something new. And I pushed my way north up through the Okanagan, where I slipped on the headwaters and fell on my noggin. So I headed back home, 'cause my head was a-hurtin'. Those things I thought interesting weren't so important. But upon my return from the journey up the gorge, where once stood Fort Astor, now stood Fort George.
Hey, Jack, what the heck is going on here? We left you for trading, now you're trading beer. So what's left to do but to do with a cheer?
And we'll raise us a glass to love and to laughter.
Raise us a glass to the friendships we forge. Raise us a glass to the local brewmasters, the furs of Fort Astor and the beers of Fort George.
So the way the story goes, as much as I can tell, war broke out with England in the year of 1812. With the British all around us and the sea otters all gone, we came to the conclusion 'twas time to be moving on.
He was ready to run away.
Well, we could not defend her.
The big fork giveaway.
Finally came to the conclusion the Brits needed a place to stay. So we sold them Fort Astor, and we all got along okay. Then one day upriver came the warship Raccoon, with orders to seize the fort and the boon. The captain, so eager for a prize of the war, determined the purchase needed something more. He stayed the ceremony just...
Well, folks, I'm sure, I'm absolutely sure that you will get to hear that song on Tuesday evening. Don't you think they'll play that one?
Absolutely. I'm sure they will.
That's the Brownsmead Flats, of course. And that is, the name of the song is The Vortex, A Tale of Two Forts. And anyone who lives here knows that Vortex is the number one beer at the Fort George, which is the first brewery that came, that was created here and made such a big hit. We have 100 more now in town and all over the coast. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but I'm getting close, right? I mean, ow! But this Tuesday night, it's going to turn into a celebration of the earth and of our community. So I have, from the North Coast Land Conservancy, Betsy Ayers and Kit Ketchum. Hi.
Hi, Carol.
So glad you're here, and so glad you're doing this, bringing it to Astoria so that those of us who live here can jump right in. So this is part of every month Fort George chooses a nonprofit organization and does a benefit evening. And this time it's the NCLC from 4:30 to 9. That's October 25th, Tuesday, the Barn Stomp at the Brewery. I love it. You think people are going to really be stomping around?
If they want, you bet.
There you go. We just had the tango folks dancing in the aisles at the Liberty, so why not have the rest of the people stomping around at the George? Now, this is in the actual brewery upstairs where the music performs. So, first of all, why don't you tell, this is a part of your 30th anniversary for the NCLC. Why don't you tell us what that organization is?
I would be glad to. This is Betsy here. We have a mission statement, and it is helping to conserve Oregon's coastal land forever. We have over 5,000 acres of protected land going from up the Columbia River at the Twilight Eagle Sanctuary all the way down into Pacific City at Sand Lake. And we have some initiative areas, and our goal is to continue to make this a very healthy place for people, animals, fish to all thrive together.
And this is a local organization.
Absolutely. This is the North Coast of Oregon's Land Conservancy.
Right.
And we've been, as you say, in business for 30 years now. And it's the most wonderful organization. I love doing the volunteer work for them because it just resonates so deeply with me and my love of the coast and why I've chosen to live my whole adult life here. And the beauty of the place is what drew me. I think it's a great deal of our success here as a community, successful community. And I enjoy having the time in retirement to do volunteer work for them.
Well, I remember the first time I ever heard of NCLC, it was at the Cannon Beach Chamber, and I believe Chris Parker did a benefit concert. This is a long time ago, but not, I don't think it was 30 years ago, maybe 18 or something. And I hadn't heard of it before. And I thought, wow, our very own land conservancy, because these are happening in various places, like the Nature Conservancy was the big one that everybody knew about. But what's so exciting about this is it's all local. And it has grown, and people have come to trust the organization and know that if they turn their land over to the NCLC, it's going to be well taken care of.
We have recently gotten a national accreditation, and which is very exciting because it really puts us at the top of well-respected land conservancies in the United States.
How exciting.
Speaking of the Nature Conservancy, they are so pleased with the work that our local staff and volunteers do that they have now turned over hundreds of acres to the North Coast Land Conservancy because of our excellence in stewardship of caring for the properties that we have responsibility for.
How much of a paid staff do you have? We have the mother of the brand new Oswald River Kirby.
Yes.
Katie Volke is will not be barn stomping, I understand.
No, I'm her stand-in.
You're Kit Ketchum. Have you been working with the NCLC for a while?
For about 4 years, ever since I got here. What really impresses me about the way NCLC obtains its properties is it's not an adversarial kind of approach. It's not saying to somebody, we're going to sue you to sell us your land, or, you know, those kinds of legalistic maneuvers. And they want purchases of the land to suit both our organization and the landowner.
And I really appreciate the entire community.
That. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So were you already involved in environmental stuff when you came and looked for this kind of a group, or what happened?
Actually, kind of, yes. I came down from Whidbey Island, where I'd been part of done some volunteering with the Whidbey Camino Island Land Trust. And when I got excited about moving to the North Coast from retirement, I started Googling, you know, what's going on in Clatsop County? What's going on upstairs? And I just happened to see a picture in my searching of Neil and Karen Main. Neil being the executive
founder.
Director for many years, the founding director. Mm-hmm. I went to college with both of them.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, Karen was my freshman year roommate at Linfield.
Outrageous.
I know, it's really pretty wild. And I thought,
there's a sign here.
Yes, an omen. I'd love to touch base again, you know. But it was kind of funny because they were doing things here in Clatsop County that were so different from college persona, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Neil was the hunky, you know, the hunky football player, and Karen was the guy or the woman who found him at Linfield. And
I love this. You are outing Neil Main as a football player. Folks.
He went to the Camellia Bowl when Linfield was quite in its prime.
For us locals, that is really hilarious because Neil was the science teacher and photographer for years, and I don't think most of us think of him as a football player. So
there was no keeping me away from North Coast Land Conservancy. And the truth is, I found so many good friends among the volunteers.
Absolutely.
Have so much respect for the people who are doing all the work.
Yeah. So tell us about this event on Tuesday evening at the Fort George upstairs. What's going to happen there? Yeah, Kit, you're in charge of it. You're the MC.
I'm happy to chime in, but go ahead, Chris.
Here's the deal. A couple of years ago, I happened to be at a birthday party, and the Flats were playing. I had seen Hitchens when it was
Hitchin,
at the Pack,
right?
And I went to this birthday party, and they were playing for the birthday party, and just kind of on a whim, I said, "Would you guys ever be interested in doing a benefit concert for North Coast Land Conservancy?" And I think it was Ned who just said, "Sure, we would."
Yeah.
Well, that kind of took me aback because I thought, oh, my gosh, going to have to do something about this idea. And it's taken a couple years, but the plan has come together so beautifully with Fort George's assistance and with the assistance of the NCLC staff and volunteers. And this is going to be even bigger than I thought it was going to be in the first place. Really excited about it. Really thrilled about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fun evening from 4:30 to 9 that's going to be extremely well attended. It's so generous of the Fort George to provide this service to the not-for-profits and to choose us to be one of them. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be music. There's going to be fun. It's going to be a chance.
You can even stomp if you
silent auction.
There's a fabulous silent auction. And there's also, for people that aren't into a big-ticket silent auction item, there are wonderful raffle prizes and raffle tickets. I think, what are they, a dollar each?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be really fun. But mostly it's going to be a fun way to get together with mm-hmm. friends and mm-hmm. community, and it's a party.
Are you going to be sharing some information about NCLC there? Are you going to take a little time to tell folks?
Yeah.
So if you aren't familiar with the North Coast Land Conservancy, this is a great opportunity to have a good time. It's free to walk in. Mm-hmm. You can whatever you buy is goes to the organization, and this is a true example of community. The Fort George donates the space, and the profits, and the Brownsmead Flats are donating their time and music. And all these volunteers, of course, we all know live here, and maybe where you are, wherever your community is, that volunteers are what holds the whole thing together, right?
Right.
But with great joy, and as you said, Kit, meeting people that you want to be around, mm-hmm. that give you joy. Mm-hmm. So again, this is Tuesday evening, the 25th. At Fort George, 4:30 starts it off. The silent auction will be out already, right? Mm-hmm. So people can start signing up. And, of course, the beer will be flowing. Mm-hmm. And the music is 6:30 till 8:30. And this is part of the 30th anniversary year celebration. Now, I want to mention something else. There is another benefit going on for NCLC. And I just mailed off my check last night. And that is the fabulous jeweler Sharon Amber in Cannon Beach, who is donating a beautiful 14-karat gold and pearl pendant to the NCLC. This is going to be raffled off, and that will be during the Stormy Weather Festival in Cannon Beach, which is,
I believe,
in 2 weeks.
Yes, very soon.
Yeah,
and
it is.
There's still a few tickets remaining.
There's only 500 tickets being sold, which is why I mailed my check in, because I didn't want to mess around. And
well, I have some in the back of the car if you'd like to buy some more.
How convenient. But you can go to what website to find out more about that?
I think that contacting Sharon Amber at her jewelry shop is probably the best way to go. But also on our website is nclctrust.org. We have a wonderful website. We're very proud of it. And for those of you who already support us in the listening audience, I know you enjoy our newsletters and our web presence. But if anybody else would like to sign up, it's really easy, a few clicks away. I think mm-hmm. you would enjoy seeing the conservation efforts that are happening
it's
here in your community.
Very, very impressive. And it's heartwarming to know that, because you guys, you know, even though a lot of us here know about you, you are quietly moving ahead, and more people are becoming aware and doing the right thing with their property. So, and as far as the Sharon Amber piece, you will find there her phone number. You can call her, or of course, if you're in Cannon Beach, just go by the her jewelry shop, which is quite filled with gorgeous stuff. So,
and she's right across the street from the Cannon Beach Post Office.
There you go.
Oh, handy.
Okay.
Yeah. Wonderful location.
Now, Betsy, do you have a title at NCLC?
I do. I am a board member.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. How about you, Kit?
Just volunteer.
No such thing as just. what is it? One of the volunteer letters I get says, a volunteer is free not because they're worthless, but because they're priceless.
Perfect.
I love that.
I love it.
So there you go. Yeah. Two priceless volunteers right here. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for keeping the NCLC going. And again, folks, this is Tuesday evening from 4:30 to 9 with music by the Brownsmead Flats from 6:30 to 8:30.
Well, thank you, Carol. And your long-term support is very valued.
Thanks.
So thanks, Carol.
Okay. Isn't it wonderful to have these organizations in our area that do fine things that we can support and feel good about? So I'm just going to put on
Sail Away.
This is another Beat Brownsmead Flats piece.
Sail
and this one goes out to Dukalicious.
Oh, gonna rise this morning, moon's gonna shine tonight. If I could see it one more time, I'd dance in the glorious light. The rain will fall, the snow will blow, sun will bake us dry. It's all part of the circle, no need to wonder why.
Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home.
Mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, brothers, sisters too. We take a place for a short time and then we start anew. We view each birth with joy and hope, begins another day. But soon our time is up and it's time to sail away.
Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail
yeah,
away,
soon
sister,
your time is up and we sail away home. Before you sail away, though, I do want to make sure you remember the film festival starts tonight. The Coaster and the Astor Street Opera Company are closing this weekend, so catch Don't Dress for Dinner and Barefoot in the Park. And Steve Burke at 5 o'clock, Barriers to Peace at Clatsop College 219. And the Tabletop Tourism at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. Hoffman has a book reading, Seaside Sachet, Square Dance Festival this weekend at the Seaside Convention Center. Shecky's going to be at the Winecraft tomorrow night. That's Mike Metzner on the piano, 7 o'clock. And Cannon Beach Gallery has an opening with Mark Andreas. And also, Philosopherian next Thursday is at the Fort George Lovell Room. Does it matter that privacy no longer exists? That's, of course, Seth Titchener. And I heard him talking to Liam on his show, and he said, privacy, huh? Do we have privacy? It's a good question, and he always gives a good session. Well, speaking of good sessions, I have a good friend here right now, a friend of mine, a friend of the station, and a friend of the community, and that is Jill Merrill. She's her business is Rainy Day Artistry, and if you look at the labels on some of the fabulous silkscreen T-shirts, all of the KMUN ones and lots of other community groups, you'll find that Jilly has done those as well. But she's here today as an artist doing her own work and teaching others the art of block printing. And Jilly's going to be at the Timberland Libraries starting in Ilwaco on the 29th, which will be next Saturday, not tomorrow, but next Saturday. So welcome, Jilly.
Hi, Carol. Thank you.
You know what I forgot to mention?
What's that?
Jilly is also an esteemed programmer at Coast Community Radio,
yeah.
Monday nights on The Blues. So, so tell us about this art of block printing. What is it, and what are you going to be doing?
Well, this is pretty neat. It's a new program for the Timberline Library System, which serves our county across the river, Pacific County. We have 5 libraries.
Yes, it's and we're large, very jealous.
It's a large landmass, but a long way kind of in between. So we have 5 separate libraries.
Wonderful.
And so they put on different programs for all ages. I went to a reptile man came to Nacelle Library last summer, and that was really fun. Brought all these reptiles. Well, now I get to be the block print
artist,
teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there'll be these 5 classes, and I'm going to teach up to 15 students, and it will be a 2-hour session. We're going to learn a lot.
Is this is all ages, right?
No, this should be just adults.
Adults.
We're
going to
be using sharp tools.
Okay.
And so,
good. I'm glad I asked because I wasn't aware. Okay.
We'll be very safe, and we're going to actually design, or there will be some free use
materials.
Yeah, free. Well, what I'm saying is copyright-free designs.
Oh, good.
So we'll have some designs, or you can bring your own for a 5x7-inch card, mm-hmm. and we're going to make 5 cards.
Each person?
Each person gets 5 cards.
During the 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we're going to make one block print
right.
per person, and they'll make their design. They'll cut it out on this block, and we'll mm-hmm. go through that whole process, and then put ink on with a brayer, and then press it onto the cards. There'll be 5 cards and a print that's suitable for framing is what you'll take home with you.
Nice.
And your block.
And your block.
And
nice.
The block you can cut out on each side of the block. So you can do one design there in class and then take home all your new knowledge.
What kind of wood do you use then?
It's not wood. It's like the
linoleum.
Like an eraser.
Okay.
It's kind of soft but stays.
Right.
And so it's real easy to carve.
Okay.
And
so exactly. What, I mean, I think this would be the fear of some people is, what if I make a mistake?
That's, you got the other side of the block to make. But, you know, I'll be there to mm-hmm. show you the do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm. And there's different tools. There's 6 different carving tools. And some of them are gouges mm-hmm. and like a little sharp spoon that's really easy to control. And also, there are no mistakes. You can just work with it. And so you can make your Christmas card for the season. You can make up all occasions card or just something that's near to you.
So if people are allowed to or are given the block that they made to take home, when they get home, they can make plenty more, right?
Yes, yes. It's okay. There's no
so
limit.
So you are going to provide the wood block
mm-hmm.
and the paper stock,
the cards, and the press.
Stock,
we're going to
press
it with
and the ink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you'll let folks know where, if they want more supplies, how to get
material lists and right. ideas of right. what else you could do with your. You could print dish towels. Or something. You can buy different kinds of ink that stay on through washings and mm-hmm. things. And mm-hmm. we're going to use water-soluble paper ink for this class. But and I'll give you all that information.
So this is a 2-hour class packed full of information mm-hmm. and hands-on.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're starting off on the 29th in the Timberland Library in Ilwaco.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? Where else do you
Well, go? The next is South Bend on Saturday, November 5th at 1 o'clock in mm-hmm. the afternoon. Nacelle will be Tuesday, November 8th at 6 p.m. Ocean Park, Thursday, November 17th at 2 p.m. And Raymond, Saturday, November 19th at 2 p.m.
Okay. Okay, now if people didn't catch all that, maybe they were driving and didn't write it down, is there some place that they can...
Yeah, the library has posters up that have all this information. Plus, right now on our own KMUN events calendar, there's only the Ilwaco one listing. We're going to get that.
Get the rest of them up
of
there,
them
too.
There. Yes.
Okay.
And then what you'll want to do is go to the library of your choice and sign up there.
Ah, okay.
And that's how they're doing that.
And you're limiting it to 15 people. Now, do they have mm-hmm. to be local people in that area?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that...
It's first come, first serve.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Timberline Library is... supported by our tax base. All of the people.
It's wonderful.
Yeah,
it is. It's a fantastic system.
It's fabulous.
So, Jilly, you do silk screening,
mm-hmm.
you do block printing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the, in and you do also, you paint. What is it about block printing that you find attractive? Why would people. Whether they're artists or not, you don't have to be an artist to get involved in this, right?
No.
Okay.
And like I said, we're going to have copyright-free designs.
That's terrific.
anyone can use, and yet you make them your own because of the colors you choose to print on them, or the line you thicken this line and reduce another line.
And so, you're multicolor printing?
No, this will be one color, but there'll be several different colors to choose from,
okay,
but one color per block.
Okay.
And you can rinse it off, wash it off, and I don't know if we'll have time to get into a lot of that drawing, but there'll be things to do, a lot of things to see others doing that you might want to go home and try again.
Right, that's the nice thing of working in a group, actually,
yeah,
too. So this can be for experienced people or for brand new non-artists who just want to give it a try. And there is a charge, but I presume.
Yes.
But it's minimal.
Very minimal.
Very minimal.
Very.
Yeah.
And
it's the library.
I think that you would take home the value of everything you get to take home with you.
It will be more than. Wow. Have you done this before? Have you taught?
Yeah. I got to teach at Trails End down in Gearhart. That was quite a while ago.
And that was block printing also.
Yeah, and that was two classes we did down there, day-long classes.
Mm.
And then I taught at Grays River out at the school there. And that was really fun. And
I think this is a marvelous opportunity. And the fact that it's only 2 hours makes it even more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So what time should do people need to be? I didn't write that down, apparently.
Well, you know, I'd come a few minutes early.
Does it start?
On this next Saturday, starts at 11 a.m. I'll be there setting up probably at 10.
Okay.
And
if you haven't signed up and you just remember, go on over and see, or call the library and see. There may still be spots. You would be welcome to come. This is a wonderful introduction and also a good way to, if you don't know Jilly, to meet her and learn more about it. We are out of time, and I want to thank you for coming in, and thanks for offering this. KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook. And in 89.5 and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, folks, stay tuned. Free Speech Radio News up next.